The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Kiplinger Personal Finance, Kiplinger.com, and Money.com. From Kiplinger Personal Finance, Fixing Your Fixed Income Portfolio. After a brutal year for bonds, prices are attractive and yields are high. If there's any truth to the adage, it's always darkest before the dawn, then the sun should be heating up the bond market sometime soon. Despite a short rally in December, the bond market suffered its worst decline in decades, thanks to the Federal Reserve's swift and sizable interest rate hikes in 2022. Bond prices and interest rates move in opposite directions. When rates rise, bond prices fall. All told, there was nowhere to hide, says John Levito, co-chief investment officer of Global Fixed Income at American Century Investments. The broad bond benchmark, the Bloomberg U.S. Aggregate Bond Index, fell a whopping 11.6% over the past 12 months. To make matters worse, stocks faltered too, losing 9.6% over the past year. People buy stocks in part to cushion stock market declines, but this past year, bonds fared nearly as badly as stocks. That's left people with a sour taste in their mouths, says financial advisor Lou Altfest of Altfest Personal Wealth Management. Things often seem at their worst before they get better. However, and these days, most analysts agree that the bond market is at an inflection point. Bonds are going to be back in 2023, says Luis Alvarado, an investment strategy analyst on the Global Fixed Income Strategy team at Wells Fargo Investment Institute. The worst of the rate hikes are likely behind us. Most analysts expect the Federal Reserve to increase short-term interest rates a couple of times more by smaller increments than in months past, 0.50 percentage point or less, before pausing to evaluate the impact of rate hikes on inflation. From there, the Fed may pause for longer, or it may raise rates further if inflation hasn't cooled enough, or it may cut interest rates if the economy falls hard into a recession. In any case, interest rates are higher now, and investors should lock in yields while they can. In early December, 10-year Treasuries yielded 3.51%, up from 1.67% 12 months earlier. That means investors now have a cushion in interest income to offset any drop in bond prices, says Altfest, if interest rates inch higher. Plus, investors don't have to take on much risk to earn a decent yield. They don't have to buy long-dated bonds or go down in credit quality, says Mary Ellen Stanek, a chief investment officer at Baird Asset Management. In fact, a recurrent theme for 2023, including for iShares investment strategist Garjay Shahura, is up to moving up in quality. With that in mind, we've prepared a plan of action for your fixed income portfolio that should help you prosper in what promises to be merciful, a brand new bond market. Cash. At long last, cash offers a decent yield, in some cases 3 to 4%, a level not seen in 15 years. You have to look in the right places to find it, though, says Greg McBride, Bankrate.com's chief financial analyst. Some banks have been stingy about raising their payouts, McBride says. But online banks, community banks, and credit unions have been trying to outdo each other on payouts for short-term CDs and savings accounts, he says. Divvy up your cash into buckets depending on when you need the funds. Then match up your needs with the maturities on your CDs or bonds. That ensures you won't have to incur penalties by cashing in early or selling in a bad market. If there's a mismatch between the maturity and when you need the money, you could face steep losses, says McBride. Cash for monthly expenses, everyday spending, should sit in a yield-bearing checking account. Online bank SoFi recently offered a 2.5% yield on its checking account. Some banks offer better yields on savings accounts that you can link to checking accounts and transfer money as needed. A Capital One 360 savings account, for instance, yields 3%. Sock away money you'll need in 6 months to a year in a money market account or a money market fund. Both options offered better than 3.2% yields at last report. Or build a CD ladder of 3-month, 6-month, 9-month, and 1-year maturities, suggests Rob Williams, Managing Director of Financial Planning at the Schwab Center for Financial Research. Again, shop around. Top-yielding 1-year CDs in mid-November paid from 4.25% to 4.35%, says Bankrate.com's McBride, and those numbers are still rising. For cash you will need soon, but not right away, consider a 1-year treasury, which as of early December yielded a generous 4.69%. You can purchase treasuries directly at treasurerdirect.gov. Treasuries. There's a lot to like about treasuries these days. Yields are high, and you can lock in attractive yields not seen in years. But should you lock in short-term rates, which are higher than long-term rates? Or should you grab long-term rates now before a recession comes along and prompts the Fed to cut rates? One strategy is to create a barbell, buying a stake in 2-year notes and pairing it with an investment in 10-year bonds. If we get a recession, there's a high probability that short-term rates will come down, says Kathy Jones, chief fixed income strategist at the Schwab Center for Financial Research. And you'll have locked into rates on the long end. Another option, build a ladder of treasury notes with maturities between 1 and 10 years, reinvesting the money from maturing 1-year securities into new 10-year notes. There's less risk of getting it wrong because you buy and hold, says Jones. If rates go up, you get more income because you're rolling up to higher yields. And if rates go down, you're already locked into higher yields. Investors who build bond ladders also tend to avoid selling or buying at the wrong time. It removes the problem of trying to time the market, says Jones. Agency mortgage-backed securities. These securities are on practically everyone's shopping list. They're AAA rated, government-backed, and offer diversification from treasurer bonds. Plus, rates would have to fall a lot for most homeowners to refinance or prepayment risk. The chance of an early loan payoff when homeowners refinance or sell is low. MBS prices are low, too, after a sell-off last year, says Jake Schumeyer, a manager with Harbor Capital Multi-Asset Solutions Team. The Bloomberg U.S. MBS Index declined 10.2% over the past 12 months and yields 4.39%. The yields on mortgage bond funds are lower, but they offer diversified exposure all in one go. And from Kiplinger.com, negotiate a better deal. This article has been edited due to the length of the article, but we will read most of the article today for you. The very thought of haggling, no matter what you're haggling for, creates a crushing wave of anxiety in a surprising number of people. And while some personality types jump at the chance of striking a deal, many of us avoid negotiating at all cost. But negotiating skills can be learned. And knowing how to negotiate when you're buying a new car, making an offer on a house, or asking for a cheaper cable or internet bill can save you a lot of money. Here's how to get what you want for the price you deserve. A new car. Supply shortages and high demand are driving up car prices. The average price of a new car hit a record $41,378 in August, jumping 16% from the previous year, according to J.D. Power. Automakers have been struggling to manufacture enough cars because of a computer chip shortage and other factors related to the pandemic. Nonetheless, there are ways to negotiate with new car dealers, says Ronald Montoya, senior consumer vice editor at industry analyst Edmunds. Be flexible with features. In a balanced market, you're in a better position to negotiate for a car that has every feature that you want. But that's not the case today. You may, however, score a deal if you're flexible on options. Right now, you may have to be a little less picky if you want to negotiate a lower purchase price, says Joe Weissenfelder, executive editor of Cars.com. Opting for a less popular color could also save you a couple hundred bucks, he adds. Compare apples to apples. Pitting dealers against each other is a tried and true tactic, Weissenfelder says, but before you start shopping around, make sure that you know which trim level and options are your must-haves so that you can get comparable quotes. As for the dealer's lowest out-the-door price, says Montoya. Also ask for a breakdown of fees and ask questions if you don't know what a fee is for. Negotiate the sales price before you talk financing. More than half of a dealer's revenue comes from service and financing contracts, says Weissenfelder. So the dealer's goal is to sell you not only a car, but also an auto loan and other extras such as an extended warranty. If you're planning to pay cash for a new car or get a car loan from a different lender, Weissenfelder suggests that you do not tip your hand about your payment method while you're haggling over the car's price. Trade in your car at the same dealership. Selling your trade-in to the same dealer can put you in a stronger position when negotiating a new car purchase, especially in today's market. Dealers are clamoring for trade-ins right now, given that there's a huge shortage of used cars, Weissenfelder explains. Bonus, if you trade in your car at a dealer instead of selling it to a private party, most states charge sales tax only on the difference between the price of your trade-in and the vehicle you're buying. Hate haggling? Let a professional do it for you. If you're not comfortable negotiating, consider hiring a car broker who charges a flat fee to shop around and negotiate on your behalf. Many car brokers are former car salespeople who know the trade from the inside out. A car broker's fee generally costs between $200 and $1,000, according to Autolist.com, but you typically reduce the cost of the vehicle by at least the amount you pay for the service. One service that doesn't accept compensation from car dealers on the back end is the nonprofit Car Bargains. For $250 for a new car purchase or $375 for a lease, you specify the make, model, and trim level of the vehicle you want, and Car Bargains shops at least five dealers in your area. A home. Home buyers have experienced serious sticker shock over the past year and a half. And because there continues to be extraordinary high demand for buyers and an acute shortage of homes for sale, home prices are still on a tear. Existing homes sold for a median price of $359,900 in July, up from $305,600 in July of 2020, according to the National Association of Realtors. Unless a house is grossly overpriced, homes are selling within days and with multiple offers, reports Adam Linder, a real estate agent with Northrop Realty based in Delaware. Indeed, homes typically remain on the market for just about 17 days, the National Association of Realtors says. In a seller's market, Linder says, buyers must use clever tactics when making and negotiating a home offer. Make a cash offer. Making a cash offer can be a winning bidding war strategy. If you're paying in cash, you have an automatic leg up because sellers are looking for security, Linder says. Sellers want to be confident that the sale will close, and cash buyers can give that to them by waiving their financing and appraisal contingencies. Offer a lease-back agreement. With homes selling so quickly, sellers who put their house on the market before purchasing their next home may be enticed by a lease-back offer. A lease-back or rent-back is an arrangement in which someone sells their home and then rents the property from the new homeowner, typically for up to 60 days. Want to make your bid more attractive? You could offer to pay for the seller's utilities while they're renting the property from you, or offer a free lease back if you know that you're facing a lot of competition. No matter what, make sure to charge the seller a refundable deposit to cover any damage that they do to the property while they're renting from you. Get creative. We've seen a lot of creativity from buyers in this market, says Natasha Tello, a real estate broker at Keller Williams Realty in Miami. A few strategies that buyers are offering include disposing of a seller's furniture, paying for a seller's moving cost, covering any appraisal gap, waiving a home inspection contingency except for major repairs, and paying part of a seller's closing cost. Cable and internet bills. U.S. households shell out $116 per month on average for their cable and internet bill, according to a recent report from Doxo, a bill payment service. Your bill can easily exceed $200 if you subscribe to premium channels and high-speed internet. The good news is you have ways to lower your cable internet cost without giving up your favorite shows or fast internet speed. Compare providers and plans. Although the U.S. has more than 2,800 internet service providers, most markets only have two or three, says Ben Curlin, co-founder of Bill Fixers, a company that negotiates with TV, internet service, cellular, and landline companies on behalf of consumers. BroadbandNow.com makes it easy to compare prices and plans and current customer ratings for the internet providers where you live. The website also shows what the average internet plan costs in your area. Still, calling the providers to discuss their plans and pricing is a good idea, because many cable and internet companies offer new promotions frequently. Call on a weekday. When you renegotiate your bill, Curlin recommends calling the company on a weekday during the afternoon. Most customers aren't calling during that time, so you're going to get much shorter hold times, he says. Also, senior level representatives tend to work the main shift, and they tend to be more familiar with the latest promotional offers. Talk to the cancellation desk. has to be connected to the company's cancellation department. That will take you to a retention representative, and retention reps typically have access to the best available rates and promotions, says Curlin. Joseph Sapon, a senior writer at All Connect, a company that helps customers compare internet and TV plans, advises, instead of saying, "You just raised my plan to a ridiculous price and I want to cancel my service," say, "I'd really like to stay with your company, but my new rate is out of my price range. Is there anything you can do for me?" Turn down the first offer. It never hurts to play hardball, Sapan says. Translation, don't accept the agent's first offer. You can often get a better deal if you push back. Customer retention representatives have a list of codes for promotions, and their goal is to retain you as a customer for the highest price plan that they can, says Curlin. Offer to sign a long-term contract. If you're not planning on moving anytime soon, see whether your provider will lower your monthly rate if you sign a long-term contract, such as a 2-year subscription. It's pretty common to see a $10 per month discount when you sign a long-term contract, says Curlin. And our next article is from Money.com. When will we see the stock market recover? Here's what experts predict. After ending the year down nearly 20%, the S&P 500 index is in the green for 2023, and the NASDAQ composite, which plunged 33% in 2022, is up more than 4.5% this year. So when will the stocks fully recover from the bear market? Many experts appear optimistic. It will happen in 2023. But unfortunately, for eager investors, it's difficult to say. Here's what you need to know. Many experts agree that the worst of this bear market is over for stocks. The steep rise in interest rates, which was the most damaging factor for the stock market last year, is likely over, says Brad McMillan, Chief Investment Officer for Commonwealth Financial Network. He adds that a recession, which economists have been saying is likely, may not be as severe as initially feared. The strong labor market should keep supporting the economy, making any recession fairly mild, McMillan wrote in a blog post earlier this month. And stock valuations are now lower and more reasonable than they were last year. And even though stocks are still significantly lower than they were at the beginning of 2022, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, one of the three major indices that are generally used as a benchmark for stocks overall, came out of a bear market this fall. Not to mention the fact that stocks rarely decline 2 years in a row. Data recently analyzed by Ryan Dietrich, chief market strategist at the Carson Group, shows that stocks have only fallen in back-to-back years 3 times since 1950, during the 1973-74 recession, and twice during the tech bubble of the early 2000s. Fortunately, we don't see similar scenarios within the current environment, so I think the odds could favor a snapback in 2023, Derek wrote. Meanwhile, experts from Goldman Sachs recently predicted in their 2023 outlook that the stock market will most likely rally by the end of 2023. Risks remain for the stock market, but investors aren't out of the woods yet. Experts also expect some serious headwinds to temper the stock market's performance this year. Think inflation that's well above historical levels, the potential for more interest rate hikes, and uncertainty surrounding geopolitical factors like China's reopening and the war in Ukraine. Stocks could also take a hit if a looming recession turns out to be worse than expected. While a market turnaround could be on the horizon this year, investors shouldn't get too comfortable, warns Mark Hafel, Chief Investment Officer at USB Global Wealth Management. Economic data remains noisy, making it hard to say for certain that the recent encouraging economic trends will continue, he wrote in a recent note to clients. What investors should do now? When it comes to the stock market, no one has a crystal ball. In their 2023 Outlook note, Goldman Sachs wealth management experts warned of heavy fog ahead. In the face of so much uncertainty, they advise their clients to avoid any major changes to their investment strategies and to prepare for a rally that may take longer than expected to materialize. The bottom line for investors? There's a good chance stocks will perform better this year than last, but it's impossible to say exactly when a major turnaround will come. Financial advisors often recommend implementing a strategy like dollar cost averaging, which involves investing a set amount of money into the market at regular time intervals. That way, you don't have to worry about timing the market. And as we wrap up our episode today, here's a couple of interesting facts that came out of the AARP magazine. Did you know in 1980, a pound of bananas only cost you 33 cents a pound? Today, that same pound will cost you 64 cents. And how about that box seat at a Yankee stadium in 1980? $7.50. But today, that same seat will cost you $265. And that Batman comic book in 1980 only cost you 40 cents, but today it will set you back about $5. And those favorite Levi's 501 jeans cost you $14 in 1980. Today, that same pair of jeans, $69. And Medicare Part B premium, 1980, $9.60. And today, your premium is around $170. We're out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. Thank you for joining us, and please be sure to listen to us again next time. On behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us, 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.